we are actually going to be talking about our gift tonight. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. This is a letter, the second letter that Paul had written to Timothy. And in verse 6 and 7 in chapter 1, Paul identifies himself. And in verse 2, it says, to Timothy, a beloved son. A beloved son. And then let's just skip down to verses 6 and 7. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so Paul is reminding him. Now, this is towards the end of Paul's life. They believe that Paul was martyred soon after this letter. And so Timothy is a man and maybe in his 40s. So I don't have a real close timeline on that, but he's not a little boy. He's not a young man, but he is a full grown man, and he's walked in ministry for quite a few years. And this letter that Paul is sending to Timothy, because Timothy's pastoring now, but he's reminding him, he says, to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir up the gift of God. And I believe that that's the word that you need to take away from here tonight, is that you stir up the gift of God that's within you. And we want to talk just a little bit about what those gifts are, because Timothy's gift was the gift to pastor. And so that's different than other gifts. But Timothy's gift was the gift to pastor, the gift to teach the word and to minister the word. And Paul is reminding him, after all these many years, and as Paul is drawing near to his death, he's reminding Timothy what time you have left. You need to stir up that gift. Don't let that gift become dormant in you. Don't let it go to the wayside, but you stir up in that gift. You need to stir up the gift. And so that's for you. And he reminds him, because of the times that Timothy was living in, not unlike the times that we are living in, they were not friendly or receptive to the gospel. We think we have such good news because, as Pastor Mark was reading that scripture in Isaiah, I think to myself, Jesus is beautiful. He's beautiful to behold. But that is not how an unbeliever sees him. They don't see any beauty or any amazement. They can't see any wonder or majesty in Jesus. If you say Jesus' name, their eyes become glazed over. And then if the Antichrist has his way with it, then he causes a stir in them. And so the time of Timothy is not any different than our time. And Paul tells him, he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you'll look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 13. Paul tells Timothy, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul is telling him here, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Paul had been an example to Timothy. He took Timothy in when he was a young man. He was a man of faith. He was already a believer, because that was what so impressed Paul about this young man. And he so wanted this young man with him so that he could put his hands on him and prepare him for the work of ministry. And so he said, now you hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, the Apostle Paul. These things that you have heard from me, you hold fast to this pattern. Don't stray from it. Don't pick up all the new things, all the new fads, all the new fancies, all the new little dingle-dangles that hang around and just look so good to the eyes. He said, no, you hold fast to this, Timothy. Now, Timothy's not a teenager. He's not a young man in the sense that he's in his 20s. He's a mature man, and he is a mature Christian. And Paul is telling him, as his life is closing out and he's in prison, he says, you hold fast to the pattern of sound words, because Paul had given him the truth. Timothy had traveled with him. Timothy had been in prison with him. Timothy had visited him in prison. Timothy had carried letters. He had done everything that Paul had said. He had watched Paul's life. He had watched Paul's life when he was up. He had watched Paul when he preached to thousands. He had watched Paul when he preached on the riverbank. He had watched Paul in prison. He had watched this man's life, and his words always were lining up with his life. And so Paul said, you've got to hold fast to this. And remember that Paul told him in the beginning, he said that you need to stir up this gift, Timothy. Stir up this gift. In chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul is continuing this letter. Now this was a letter. This is a letter that a spiritual father was writing to his spiritual son. So it didn't have chapter and verse in it. It was a letter. If you could take all of that out and read it in the context of how it was written from the Apostle Paul. And he was sitting there in prison and he was thinking about his beloved son in the Lord. He was thinking about Timothy and what was ahead for Timothy. Paul knew what was coming for him, but he was thinking about what was ahead for Timothy. And he knew the gift of God that was on Timothy's life. And he did not want the days ahead when he was not there to encourage him, to strengthen him with his words, to pray for him. And he's giving him instruction. He's writing him this letter. Do you serve a good God? I just get amazed every time I open this word. I truly am amazed by it. It's so good to me, and I just feed on it and chew on it and think on it. And then when I see things like this, I think, God, your tenderness just amazes me. How tender our God is. He's such a tender, loving God. Paul tells him in verse 2, he said, and the things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, you are in a place now that you can look and you are able to call faithful men, those that you can commit the teaching to, those that just like I called you and I've trusted this to you, you're able to do that now. He's giving him a place of authority where he needs to be able to walk in that place, to be able to discern and to look and to see those around him, because we're not called to do this all on our own. No one's called to do this alone. That's why it's called a body. And that's why we all have gifts and callings from the Lord, so that we can be fitted together. And those gifts and calling will edify one another, add to the body, but it is for the strengthening, so that we're not weak in areas. We want to be strengthened, but if you don't stir the gift that's within you, if you don't stir that gift within you, and you just push it aside or let it lay dormant, or you say it's not for this time, it's for another time, and you just keep putting it off, there's a weakness in the body. There is a weakness in the body. And that's why you need to stir that gift. And we will see that Paul doesn't tell him anywhere, get on your face, go off for 40 days and pray because I've laid hands on you and this gift is here and you need to just go and pray and beg and plead with God. He says, Timothy, you do this. God has already called you. He's already confirmed it. And so now this is up to you, because you can either accept the calling of God and the gifts of God, or you can turn your back on them and walk away. And it does. You think it does not harm the body. That's why he calls us a body. He identifies it with a head, which is Jesus. And then we're all fitted together. And, you know, I hurt my ankle last week. It affected my whole body. And when one part of your body is weak, it affects your whole body. It's not what the Lord wants. And he tells him, he says, you have to endure. He goes on, he talks to him as a soldier. He talks to him as a farmer. He talks to him as being an athlete. He's given him all these different scenarios so that he can listen, identify, bring these things home. Bring all these points home so that you understand what is before you. What is before you? In verses 14 and 15, in chapter 2, Paul, he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive, not to get into a fight about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in verse 16, he says, but shun profane and idle or empty chatter, for they will increase to more ungodliness. They'll lead to more ungodliness. And so Paul is telling Timothy, he says, now you need to appoint men. He said, but you need to remind them. You need to be diligent with your own self. With your own self. When you see the gifts and callings in others and you're bringing them alongside you and you're preparing them for ministry, it doesn't mean that you sit back then and say, whew, now I don't have to read the word anymore. I don't have to pray anymore. I don't have to study anymore. You have to be diligent. And Paul is reminding Timothy. He said, you have to be diligent, Timothy. Stir this gift up that's within you through the laying on of hands. See, when that gift was recognized in Timothy, it wasn't Timothy who went off into the closet and then came out and said, oh, God called me to be a pastor, so I'm going to go and start me a church and I'm going to pastor this church. No. It was recognized by the body of Christ. And it was the eldership, and Paul was part of the leadership of the church. And they came together, and there was a prophetic word, and there was the laying on of hands. Do you see that those gifts and callings, the church will begin to see them? If God's put something within you, you don't have to say a word. You just continue to walk and to serve, and then God will begin to stir those around you. And he will make it quite evident. But he tells him, he says, to remind them, charge them, and you be diligent, and you shun. Timothy, you stay away from all of those things. Stay away from them, because otherwise all they're going to do is to pull you in the wrong direction, and that gift that's within you, you won't be able to stir it, because your mind will be filled with other things. In verses 22 through 25. He tells Timothy, he says, flee also youthful lust. Now, I have not read anywhere that Timothy was married. And if you know, you can tell me, but I've not read anywhere that Timothy was married. So apparently Timothy also had the call of celibacy upon his life. And that is a call. Unless God calls you to be single, you need to be married. You know, that way you avoid all temptation and you don't get yourself into trouble. But he tells him, he said, you know, in a church, you always have single men and single women. And I don't mean to any single men or women are sitting here thinking, but, you know, we kind of look around thinking, I'd like to have a Christian husband or a Christian wife. So you might be looking around, but you have to be careful. Especially when you're in a place of leadership, you don't want to get yourself in a compromising position. And this is wisdom from Paul as he's leaving. He's all these things he's thinking. Now, Timothy, you're in this place. You're pastoring. You're shepherding these people. You have the gift and calling, but these are things that the enemy will come against. He'll come against you with lust. He says, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. There are those who just want to argue. Just walk away. Just walk away. Love them in the Lord and just walk away. Just walk away. Because I'm telling you, no one loves to argue more than me. But it gets you nowhere. I promise you, it gets you nowhere, nowhere fast. And I always think I'm right. And so it's been a real lesson. It's been a real lesson to learn just to rein it in. Rein it in, because otherwise you just drive people further away. And it's just foolishness. And a servant, in verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Gentle to all. Able to teach and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Doesn't mean that you don't correct when correction needs to come. But you do it in humility. You humble yourself before the Lord. You humble yourself before the Lord because bringing correction is not a pleasant thing. But when you have the gift within you, you have to be obedient, and that's part of it. And Paul knows, he knows Timothy. I'm not trying to put anything on him, but I just go back to this thing right here where he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think that Timothy probably struggled with some of these things. I don't think that he probably was as bold as Paul was. I think he was bold. I think he was courageous. He went to prison with him. He suffered persecution, but he was not Paul. Paul knew he was not like him. And so here he is encouraging him. And he says that these things, he says, now, Timothy, this is the way that you're going to have to handle this. With this gift and this calling that's within you, you stir this up, but this is the way you're going to walk in this. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And so that is why you would do that, so that this gift could be stirred up in you. In 3:14, as Paul's continuing this letter, he said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul is reminding him. He said, I called you. I was the one that picked you. I said, come to me. And I know it was by the leading of the Holy Spirit, so don't get technical with me. But God gave Paul eyes to see in Timothy the gift and the calling that was in him. See, the gift and the calling of God was upon this young man's life when Paul saw him. And Paul took him under his wing. And he lived with Paul. He traveled with Paul. He served Paul. He knew Paul. And so here is the time. And he says, now, these things that I've taught you, you have to be assured of these. You have to be assured of these and who you've learned them from. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 through 16, this is the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And in this letter, Paul said, these things command and teach. Now, this is the first letter that he writes to Timothy. As Timothy's entering into this stage of ministry and he's doing this work, he's giving Timothy instructions. But here he tells him, I think this is interesting because in the second letter, he reminds him to stir up that gift that's within him. But he's already told him, he said, these things command and teach. Paul was the kind of man that when he walked on the scene, he commanded. Even though they say he was short of stature, probably had a little eye problem, but he was able to command and was not a great orator. We think of Paul being able to preach these great sermons, but they say that he was not a great orator. He had a great understanding and knew high and lofty things and had been shown high and lofty things, but he was not this great orator. But he was able to command because of the Spirit of God within him and what God was showing him and what God was calling him to do. But Paul always did those things with humility. But Timothy's having to learn. And Paul says, these things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. These are the things that he's telling him. He says, you have to be an example to the believers. Timothy, you have to live your life. You say that you have this gift that's within you. And this is how you have to live your life before the believers. He said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. As you grow in the Lord and as your gift grows in the Lord, it is evident to those around you. No one can argue with it. They may not like your personality, they may not like your delivery, but they cannot argue with the gift of God. You can't argue with God. You just can't do it. And I love this verse that he put in here in 16. He said, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." I don't think anybody heard that. He said, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Timothy, if you continue to teach what I have shown you, what you have learned from me, those who hear you will be saved. Walk in that gift and that calling. You know, there's so much lack. That's what I want to say. I say lack in the body of Christ, because we don't want to acknowledge the gifts and callings. Now, some may say, I honestly don't know what God's gift or calling is in me. I've never thought about it. I've never thought that I had a gift or calling. And some people may confuse their natural gift, their natural talent, with this supernatural gift or calling from the Lord. God doesn't call everyone to the same thing that he called the Apostle Paul to. You know that there are those that God calls to martyrdom. There are those that God calls to be missionaries. There is a gift and calling of hospitality. That is one of the greatest gifts in the church. It is such a precious gift, because we don't all have the gift of hospitality. There is the gift of serving. It is so needed in the church. And most people don't want to serve, because it's like all the accolades go to the one who preaches the word. But you need to get a picture in your mind of those who are preaching the word. They're just a donkey carrying the word of Jesus. And you're just a lowly servant. That's all you are. You're just a lowly servant, trying to be obedient and to serve your God and to serve God's people. When you look, when you are given the gift or the calling to preach, to teach, to evangelize on the streets, if you teach a class, you teach the little ones, which is a gift all unto itself. It is such a special gift. And then the gift to take the teenagers is a special gift. They have special rewards in heaven. And but those gifts, when we will not walk in them, or when someone says, you know, I really see, you see the leadership, the ones around you, and say, you know, I really see the Lord wants to do this in your life. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, God doesn't want to do that. Oh, I can't do that. All I can do is blah, blah, blah. You're denying what God wants to do in your life. You're denying a gift or a calling, what God's placed on you. But anything that you do like that, if you have that gift or that calling, it has to be done in love. When God allows me to be able to look at you when I stand here, I'm not looking at your face. I see. Jesus says, mine, 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 mine. And when he says that you're his, I better tread lightly. And when you were put in that place to teach God's people, it is a scary place to be, because of what God has allowed you to do, to speak into the life of someone that he died for and that he redeemed. When you have opportunity to witness, you have to have the love of Jesus flowing out of you. As Timothy was talking about, you know, foolish and arguments and the babblings and all the chatter and all of those things, we can't be drawn into those things. It has to be strictly the love of Jesus, why you are doing it. Now, some people aren't very lovely, are they? They're not very loving. And some are just mean, and they're mean-spirited. But that's when you walk away. That's when you're just able to walk away. In verse 14, when he says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership," Paul, see, twice he reminds Timothy about the gift that's within him. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not sure what that gift is in me. I'm not sure what that gift is in me. I was looking, and I'm not going to read all these scriptures to you because I want to prove him wrong tonight. In Romans chapter 12, it starts at verse 4, but it talks about the different gifts. It talks about prophecy. It talks about teachers, exhortation. Have you ever thought, we don't use that word a lot, exhortation, but we use the word encouragement. You know, the church needs people who encourage them. The church body needs people to encourage them to come up and to maybe, you know, pat them on the back, and to give them a word of encouragement. And that gift from the Lord, encouragement, that truly is a gift because everybody doesn't have it. That's not even a natural talent. That is a gift from the Lord to be able to speak those words and to, when the Holy Spirit moves you. But it means encouragement, comfort, consolation, and counsel to help them be all God wants them to be. There is also the gift of giving. There are those that God just gives them the gift to give. Now, 99% of the church, I don't think, has that gift. And I don't think that we even pray. I don't ever remember praying for that gift. How many of you prayed for that gift? That's what I thought. But there is that gift out there. And there is the gift of leadership, administration. You don't realize how necessary that is in the church. And when that gift and that calling is upon you, you need to stir that gift and to do what God's called you to do. And there is the gift of mercy. There is the gift of mercy. There is the gift of ministry or serving, and deacons, it's the deacon ministry. And in Ephesians, These are the callings of the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When Paul is writing this, I was thinking about how many times Paul mentions gifts and how necessary. See, God has not left us powerless. We have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes so that he can work in you and work the will of the Father, and so that we can be a body united, working together, and to be strong, not to be weak and wanting to pull and go our own way. It would be like your arm trying to turn itself around and says, "I don't want to be on the right side, I want to be on the left side," making its own decision, when that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work together, and our gifts should work together, and it's all for the edification of the body and that God would receive glory. But when you will not stir the gift that's within you, there is lack in the body. There is lack. And I'll tell you what happens. People will become discontented. And so then they want to go to another church. I want to see what they have over at this church. Oh, well, I went and visited that church. And let me tell you all the things they have. They can have program after program after program. What good is a program when you will not even walk in the gift God has within you? What does it matter if you run from church to church? What does it matter? You don't want to do what God wants you to do. You don't want to be used like God wants to use you. And you are the one responsible. See, Timothy apparently had some fear. And I know I've spoken to people, and some people have fears about, you know, standing up in front of people, or fears about opening their mouth, or fears about making mistakes. And, well, you know, all that's going to come to pass. You just be afraid and do it. But be obedient and stir that gift. Stir that gift. In Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are evident in service. Those gifts should be evident in service when the Holy Spirit wants to move. The gift of healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, those things should be operating. But if you hold back, if the Holy Spirit urges you and He's putting His finger on you, but you hold back because you're self-conscious and you don't want to allow the gift to move, that gift has to be practiced. That's what it means. That gift has to be practiced. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to practice that gift. He wants you to walk in that gift and that calling. Listen, for us as a church, do you know what it would do for us? It would edify us. It would strengthen our church. It would strengthen this body. You would be strengthened. It's not about, Pastor Mark said it this morning, it's not about somebody saying thank you that you're walking in your gift and calling. It is about you being obedient and desiring the things that God desires. And, you know, let me tell you something. God loves the church. I don't know if you know that. God loves the church. He loves the church. There may be some, maybe we don't have everything right here, but God loves our church. He loves our church. He wants you to grow. He wants you to exercise and to stir up that gift that's within you, because it gives honor to Him. It gives honor to Him. He doesn't want you to just to breathe in, to breathe out. He wants us to grow strong. For us, for our muscles to be built up. Don't look at mine, you'll be jealous. But He is desiring that. He is desiring for us to be strong in Him and in the gifts and callings that He's put within us. There's not just one person or two people who have a gift or a calling. God doesn't do that. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, a pastor, a beloved son in the Lord. He wrote it in Ephesians and Corinthians and Romans, and he talks about the gifts all through these scriptures. So I think that there's something that the Lord wants us to hear. I do think that there is something that the Lord wants us to hear. As I thought about that while we were in California, we were driving, I think, along the coastal highway. And I was telling Pastor Mark, I said, you know, the Lord said, stir up that gift within you. Stir up that gift. And so I've just been meditating on all of that. And Timothy's gift was to pastor and to preach the word. He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, and I love this, it's preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And that's just always been one of my favorite scriptures. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And you know what? I am ready anytime. Not because I'm so perfect. I know you think I am. But because there is so much in this word, and God has called me to preach, because I am the least likely person that anyone would ever think they would just go, no, I don't think so. Oh, you don't even have the right tent. What are you doing up there? Unfortunately, this is the tent that he gave me, like it or not. And so to be obedient to him, and Timothy's call was to preach, and he had to stir that gift up in him. And Timothy knew what his calling was, and that God had confirmed it by the laying on of the hands of the elders, and now he was to walk it out. He had to walk it out. See, you can't be called by the Lord and then just sit back on the sofa and say, well, God's called me. And when the world comes to my feet and recognizes this gift and calling, then I'll get up and I'll operate in it. Now, you may be saying, I'm not sure what my gift is. I don't know what my gift is. But that is something that you need to ask the Lord. What is it? What is it that God has called you to do? I know that there's always a timing of the Lord, but I can tell you this. If God has put a call on your life, don't hesitate. Don't make excuses. Begin to walk in it, and in the fullness of it will come to pass. But if he's called you to, if he's called you to pastor, then you walk as a pastor until that day that God does for you what he did for Timothy. If God has called you to be an evangelist, you do that until God puts you, I don't know how that's going to work, but an evangelist needs, we need evangelists in the church so that they can reproduce, and you always have to have evangelists. Because you know what? It strengthens our body. That strengthens our body. And you need those with the gift of help, the gift of mercy. It's important. Those things are important. And that is what I believe that the Lord gave me, especially today as I was listening for the second time to the sermon at Val Vista. And I was listening and I was hearing God say, you know, some people may think they're in a desert. Some people have the excuse, well, I can't serve God because I have this problem, or I don't have the money to do this, or I don't have the education to do this, or I can't play an instrument, or I don't know how to do this. There is no excuse, because the gift comes from God. He is the one who gives the gift. And with that gift, you can do anything. If he has called you to do it, you can do what God has called you to do. And if you do not do it, it is because you put up the stop sign. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know that I have said this to individuals privately, and they're probably thinking, don't get up and talk about me. I'm not saying any names. I'm not looking at any people. But I am encouraging you, you walk in what God's called you to walk in. You can't walk in someone else's calling. You can walk in that calling that God has given you. And it is not something to take lightly. It is worth taking everything that this world affords you and casting it to the wind. Amen. And following after God. That's what it's worth. That's what it's worth. And so many times we choose the tangible things of this life. We hold on to the tangible things of this life that will be destroyed and will count for nothing, when what counts for everything is absolute surrender to the Lord.